Oh, there we go.
Is it on now?
Yep. Anyways, tonight, you don't want to move this down. Preaching on
Caleb and I guess Joshua followed God wholly too. He didn't come back with an evil report when they went and spied out the land. But anyways, we're going to start here in Joshua. And I know you guys are going through Joshua. And you guys are in chapter 16, I believe. You probably just had all this preached at you. And you're going through Genesis. You probably just about had what I'm about to preach tonight, but I'm going to preach it anyways. So maybe if you missed out or I don't know. So Joshua 14 and verse 6. Now this is when they're dividing up the land. The Bible says in verse 6, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake, lo, that day, in that day, for thou heardest in that day how that Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to fight to drive them out, or shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And look at verse 14, and because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, you all know as well as I do, people are half-hearted today. We're in the end of the church age, and the Bible says they're lukewarm. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Hot and cold. That's lukewarm. That's what they always say. And, you know, we're living in a generation, no one is going in any direction 100%. No one. Not even the people that doubt this book. Very few of them are really going 100% to disprove God. They just want to get a little bit this way or a little bit this way. Everyone's trying to be comfortable. Have a little bit of everything. And, If you're gonna stay in this fight and finish, like you heard this morning, you're gonna have to follow God fully. You're gonna have to follow God wholly. And this guy here, we all know he got an inheritance. Everything's tying into what you already heard this morning. But this man here, he followed God wholly, he got rewarded. And there's a lot of things that we can look at. You know, I know that he's Old Testament, he's not born again. He's not eternally secure. You can say what you want about Caleb. But he's a man that we can look at as an example. The Bible says the Old Testament was written for our admonition, learning. This man here is someone you can look up to. You can pick this man, you can look at him, look at his life. He's not mentioned outside of the context of him spying out land. He's mentioned only because he followed God wholly. His name is connected with that following God wholly. And that's what everyone here should have a desire to do. I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. And thank you for giving yourself wholly on the cross, and you did the whole will of God, and help us to, God, have a desire to do, follow you wholly. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you put the words in me for tonight. You know I can't feed people, and you know that, Lord, Lord, just please put me aside, help me not to get in the way. And Lord, I pray for liberty. I pray for everyone here to get fed by you. And God, I pray if there's anyone here that's unsaved, they'd find you as their Savior tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And, am I too loud? No, okay. If you turn over to Numbers 14, and, we're gonna be flipping around quite a bit. This is not, we're not gonna turn this into a teaching, but we gotta get a little background here. Numbers 14, 24. Here it is again, Numbers 14, 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had an our spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And the first thing about this man, Caleb, that you'd have to know about him is that he believed in the promise. He believed in the promise. He wholly believed in the promise. You say the promise of what? The land. That's how simple it was. The promise of the land. And the land of Canaan goes all the way back to Father Abraham, the old friend of God, Abraham. And you all know this, but if you'd like to, we're going to go back and rehearse why in the world aren't they already in Canaan? They've been there before. Abraham was already in Canaan. Isaac was in Canaan. Jacob was in Canaan. So why in the world are they trying to get back into Canaan? Well, because they were down in Egypt, the famine. And let's go back there and take a look at that. If you go to Genesis 11, all the way back to Genesis 11. And this is Abraham was promised the land. Genesis 11:31. The Bible says here in 11:31, and Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran his son's son and Sarai his daughter-in-law his son's Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So now they're in this land of Canaan, and you go here. Here in verse 12, how about 12, verse 1? Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And we're going to skip ahead here. If you go to 31:18, and I got to go through this because you're wondering what in the world they're even trying to get to this land for. God's keeping a promise. In Genesis 31:18. The Bible says in 31:18, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods, which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. So you got Abram, then you got Abraham, you got Isaac, his son, is in the land of Canaan. I'm going to read a verse here, and this is just, I'm going to get moving here, I'm going a little slow here in the beginning. Because if you don't understand this, you don't understand the whole point of what they're going to spy out this land for. It's because this is the land that was promised to Abraham. Now, if you go to Genesis 13, I'll just read it here. 13:12, if you remember right down. The Bible says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And you go on here, the Lord said this, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And he said, arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. So the Lord says, I'm going to give the land to you, Abraham. And now go, if you can, to let's see here. Go to Genesis 42. And we're going to work up here to what I'm getting at. In Genesis 42:1, the Bible says, now when Jacob saw that there was no corn in Egypt, or that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do ye look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. So they left Canaan, right here in verse 5, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. So when they're going to spy out this land that Caleb, Joshua and the 10 other men, they were going to spy out a land they were already previously at. In Genesis 50, now we're going to go there, and now we're going to get into it. In Genesis 50, go to Genesis 50 if you can. And this is kind of more teaching in the beginning here. 50 verse 5. Now this is Joseph. So you got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now his son Joseph. We all know Joseph is the type of Christ sent into the world to deliver his brethren. He was sent to Egypt to preserve him alive. Now in Genesis 50, we're in verse 5. Jacob, he's referring to his father. Or Joseph is referring to Jacob. My father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And now I'll go to the end of the whole chapter, or the whole book of Genesis. If you go to verse 24. 24, Joseph says this before he dies. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. To do what? What's God going to visit Israel for? What is God going to visit his people for? Well, he's going to bring them to the land. In verse 25, and Joseph, or it says right here, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry out my bones from hence. And I'm not going to go through any more verses. I'll just give you the references maybe here and there. But the last thing it says at the end of Genesis, it says that Joseph died and was buried, what, in a coffin in Egypt. So Joseph is in a coffin in Egypt. That's how the end of Genesis ends. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You all know that. And this all leads up to this. What does this man Caleb really believe? He believes the promise of God. He believes the promises. The promises, there's a lot of promises that hinge on them getting this land. The promise he made to Abraham, you're going to get this land. The promise of, I'm going to multiply you. The promise of Joseph's bones getting carried up. And Caleb was a man that believed in the promises of God. I'll tell you this, if you're going to wholly follow God, you're going to have to embrace the promises. You're going to have to embrace the promises. You're going to have to know the history of the promises. You're going to have to know some Bible. You're going to have to know what went before you. Caleb was a man that was learned a little bit about this promise. When he went up to the land, listen, when Caleb went out to spy out the land, you know what was there? Abraham was buried there. I don't know if he visited it, but he went right into the land. He was walking around the land that Abraham was in. He was walking in the land that Isaac was in. He was walking in the land Jacob was in. And in the meanwhile, they had the bones of Joseph carrying around with them. The bones of Joseph. And you know what he did? He said, I just believe God's going to finish this. I believe God's going to get us in this land. And he believed the promise. He believed the promise. It says in about another man that didn't stagger at the promises is in Romans 4. I'm going to read this verse to you. You don't give glory to God when you don't take him as promise. If you don't take God at his word and that God's going to do what he said, you're not going to glorify him. That's real simple. You got to take God at his word. What he said, he will do. The Lord, what is it? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And Romans 4 and verse 20, it talks about Abraham. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, what was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, also to perform. And, you know, there's many times in your life and my life that we've seen like the promises of God were falling short. Oh boy, I don't have my needs met. I remember when I was down in Bible school, I knew that God was going to provide my needs, right? Every penny. We always think about money. So I remember I had a bill due. It was due that night. So you know what I was going to do? I was going to wait till God provided. Right? So I remember it was a credit card, right? When I got down to Bible school, I didn't have a bed. I was single. I didn't know anything what I was doing. I got myself a Walmart credit card, bought myself a $500 bed, and I was like, God, you've been good. Right? Had no job. You know, that's my life right there. And there's more to the story. So I'm sitting there, I'm paying off my credit card, and I'm like, God, I need a $35 payment. I know you provide, it says in the Bible, you provide. And then I go to the ATM, you know what I'm doing at 11:59? I'm looking at the ATM. You know, I'm like, God, someone's going to put money in my account. I know I'm going to pay this bill on time, by midnight, you know. Well, at midnight, you know, nothing happens. I'm sitting there going, God, you didn't provide. Your promise broken. God's promise fell through at midnight in Pensacola, Florida. Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. It may seem that God's promises didn't come through, but God's kept his promises. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you, he's been there every step of the way. And there's been many times that you know, maybe you think, oh, God's not going to keep his promise. God's not going to do this or God's not going to do that. He always does. He always does. And God doesn't owe you anything when you're in the flesh. God doesn't owe you anything. And a lot of times we get in trouble and God just says, hey, I'll pay for that and bail you out. That's the God we serve. He keeps his promises. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Peter calls them great and exceedingly precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. Do you know any of them? Have you memorized the promises? You know the song goes, Standing on the Promises. I was at one church in Kentucky and he said, are we going to sing? They started singing it and he said, hold on. Are you guys standing on the promises or are you sitting on the premises? He's like, some of you guys hear it, he was joking. He said, you guys don't sound like you're standing on the promises. You can stand on the promises. The Bible says, you know, the Lord said, if any man shall hear me or hear my sayings and do them, I'll liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. If you hear them, you got to hear them before you can do them. You better get in this book and learn the promises. You better know what pertains to you. Caleb was a man that knew what he was. He said, you know what? I just know what God's going to do with this nation. I know what God's promised to his friend Abraham. I know he's going to keep his word to his friend. And you know what you got to do? You got to get in that will of God and ride that. You got to know what God's going to do. You got to get in the work of God. If you get in what God's going to do, you're not going to be stopped because you're with God. God's going to do what He wants. His will be done. And Caleb was a man that knew the promise of God. He knew the promise. And I'm going to go a little long here. I'm going to move on here. And I know I'm going to have to go real quick here. So if you go here, if you turn your Bible to Exodus 31. Now, this is the real important is that you better read the whole Bible. And when I'm preaching now, I'm preaching some real boring books, according to some Christians. You know, why are we looking at Exodus? And let's get back in Psalms and let's get back in Romans, things that are relevant. Listen, this whole book is relevant. I'm in Exodus right now. There's a lot of gold in here. I have a lot of verses underlined. A lot of things have helped me in Exodus. Exodus 31, look at verse 1. Or not in verse 1 here. Exodus 33, I'm sorry. Verse 1. The Bible says this. Let's just go on here to verse 3. Verse 3, we'll just skip ahead here. The Bible says, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Flowing with milk and honey. And in Numbers 13, I'm going to read this. Numbers 13, 27 is a verse to cross-reference. The Bible says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. This is the fruit of it. Now, part of the evil report that the people brought up is that they saw the giants. They saw the giants. Now, one group came back, Joshua and Caleb, and they said, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. That's what the Lord said, too. That's the words of God. He said, I'm going to bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, this is it. And then you know what? You got Caleb and you got Joshua. They go to the land. You know what they do? They quote God again. They come back and they say, you know what? Truly it is a land flowing with milk and honey. What God said, it's there. That's it. You know what they did? They wholly believed land was better. They wholly believed what was before them was worth it. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I reckon not, brethren, what? That these present sufferings be worthy to be compared with glory that should be revealed, you know, in us or in that time. You know what? There's a lot of Christians today. It's just not worth it. What's ahead is not worth what we're going through right now. It's not worth fighting. It's not worth the fight. You know what made this man follow God holy? He saw the future and he saw it was worth it. He saw it was worth it. Maybe the reason some of you here, you're not fighting, you're not following God holy, you're not reading your Bible daily, you're not praying, you're not giving, you're not doing anything, is because you just don't think it's worth it. This man here, he saw it. He saw the land flowing with milk and honey. He saw what it was worth. I'll tell you this, is that some looked at the obstacles of the land and some looked at the fruit of the land. That's it. There's always, you know, like the old saying, two men sat in prison behind bars. One saw mud, the other stars. That's the old saying. Two men can be in the same position in life, and one will see the mud, the other will see the stars. That's it. And a lot of Christians today, they're just all looking at the mud. Oh, it's not worth the fight. Look at these giants. You know what he saw? He saw inheritance for his children's children. He saw some land that he could call his own. He saw what the Bible says. The Bible says, looking on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, what? Endured the cross. The Lord took up the cross because he saw the joy set before him. That's the Lord. The Lord is a visionary. I mean, where's your vision today? Your vision in the mud? I mean, do you have any vision like Caleb? I'll tell you that. The Lord, he saw that milk and honey. He said, this is just perfect. This is where I want to go. This is worth the fight. This is worth the fight. And next thing is, if you turn over to Deuteronomy, not only he believed the land was better because he saw it, but because he handled it in Deuteronomy 1. And I'm not preaching this about if you fight, you're going to get into heaven. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching that you have to follow God fully and wholly to receive blessings just with the Lord's fellowship. You got to put up a fight. The Lord knows who follows Him wholly. Let's put it that way. The Lord knows there's many people today that are trying to take advantage of Him, this and that. But Caleb, he followed God wholly. And look at here in Deuteronomy 1:25. Deuteronomy 1:25, the Bible says about Caleb and the men that went up. It says, and they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us. and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Can you imagine that? They're bringing fruit of the land back. They had a grape cluster and two men had to bear the cluster of grapes. Not all about you, but I go to Walmart every once in a while, probably about 8 times a week. And they're grape clusters. You don't want to, they're not like, you don't need two men to bear them. I'll tell you that. You look on those things, you have to basically leave the store. I don't know about you, but I've been switching to organic because I'm not satisfied with the fruit of Walmart. Amen. But this fruit here, this was some fruit. I'll tell you that. This was a fruit. This was a land flowing with milk and honey. This was a land of plenty. This was a land of, God's blessing was on this land and it was prepared for them. And, you know, as a Christian, we got a lot of things to look forward to heaven. Amen. We got a lot of things ahead of us. That's what Paul said. What? Forgetting the things that are behind. Forgetting what? And, you know, reaching forth, like he said to Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold. We got a lot of things ahead of us. We got a good future. And I'm not one of those positive Joel Osteen, you know, one of those kind of preachers, you know, prosperity gospel. But I can tell you this, is that there's a joyous, joyous future ahead for you if you're a Christian. There's a joyous future ahead of you. After you die, you got a lot of joy waiting for you. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The joy of the Lord. You know what they did though? They handled the fruit. What caused Caleb to go on holy for God is because he had some fruit in his hands that he had from the promise of God. He had something in his hands that spurred him on. And I want to ask you this, you got something in your hands that's the fruit of the land? You got something in your hand? The Bible says that the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. The Word of God is sitting in heaven right now. We got the fruit of the land right here. We got the fruit of the land. The Bible says, if so be you've tasted, the Lord is gracious. Maybe you've seen some things in your life that are just shadows of what's in heaven. Peace. Do you know the land of, heaven is a land of peace? There is, the Bible says, you know, well, that's a millennium, but in heaven, the babies, they can stick their hand right in a adder's den and won't get bit. You got no more, you know, there's no wars in eternity. No more wars. That's it. No more tears. God's going to wipe away all tears at the end. And, you know, have you ever seen God wipe away your tears in this life right now? Have you ever seen God bring some peace to a situation that you never thought there could be any peace? Have you ever saw God come in and do some things that they're just taste of heaven? You know what they are? They're called the fruit of what's before you. And you know what that is? You got to hold on to that fruit. This world and the devil would love to take that fruit out of your hands. And you got to hold on to it. And you know what you got to do? You got to handle, like this said, the fruit that came down unto us. And that's going to make you fall God holy. And when you start to lose that vision, you start to lose the sight and the things that if you start to look on things wrong, it was true. There were giants in the land, wasn't it? That evil report, was it built on falsehood? No, it wasn't. You know what it was? It was just some men that just took everything and they twisted it. That's it. And we're living in a day and age that, hey, it is hard to be a Christian. Amen. It's hard to stand up for the truth. It's hard to do some things for God. It's hard to wake up a little early and do everything that we think we ought to do. But you know what? Why don't you flip it on our side? What if you do those things? What if you do those things? What's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. God's going to draw nigh to you. If you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. He'll bless you. The Bible says, no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. There's a lot of blessings if you just walk with God. You got to walk in the light. You got to have this in your hands. And that's what Caleb did. Caleb was a man that just wholly believed the land was worth it. He wholly believed what was ahead of him. He said, you know what? These present struggles, these giants, I can see over the top of them. I can see over the top of these giants. And I see a land that's flowing milk and honey. It's worth it. Is it worth you to do anything for the reward? There's some rewards coming. The Lord is not just going to throw them on the ground. He's going to give them out personally, one-on-one, if you did the work. And to end with this, as I'm going to preach the last thing here, I'm going to wrap it up, is if you turn to Numbers 14. And this is the main thing that I think Caleb did, is in Numbers 14:8. Caleb said here, in verse 6, you see Joshua and Caleb, they rent their clothes. And then here in verse 8, this is what he had to say, Caleb, Joshua, Numbers 14:8. He said, If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. You know what he believed? He wholly believed that God was good. That sounds simple, doesn't it? But you know what it says in one other part here? I'm not going to read it. Well, I'm going to read it because it's the opposite side. If you just look up here to Deuteronomy 1:27. And I'm sorry that we're going back and forth, but you need to look at this verse, Deuteronomy 1:27. The Bible says, the Lord said this, "And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us and hath brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us." What it comes down to is you got Caleb and he's saying, you know what? Even though there are some great things ahead of us, we got to do some great work to get in this land. If the Lord delight in us, we'll be able to do it. No problem. He says there'll be bread for us. He says the giants will be bread for us. You know what the other side said? God hates us. God hates us. God brought us out of the land to destroy us. And that's the way some people get in this life. They start to get where God hates you. God doesn't hate you. God doesn't hate you. You know, even Paul said, "Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You ever been in a time where you thought God hated you? The wilderness will get you in that corner sometimes. The wilderness will get you in a position and you'll start thinking like these corrupt 10 men. Oh, God hates us. God doesn't really look out for me. God doesn't mean well. Devil will come to you and he'll say, you know, God just saved you to be a little servant. He wants to rule over you with a wrought iron. No, the Bible says that he wants to hear your voice. He calls you the bride. He calls you, you know, he says your voice is sweet. He calls you comely. You go to Song of Solomon, the way he talks about you as a saved person, the church, the Lord has a desire toward you. That's who his desire is toward. And that's the God that Caleb believed in. Maybe you don't believe in the right God. Maybe you don't believe in the God of this Bible. The God of this Bible, he gave himself on the cross. He didn't send a prophet to do it. He gave himself. And this is the record that God hath promised unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. In his Son. It says in Acts 20:28, it said, who purchased the church, what, with his own blood? God shed his blood on the cross. And he brought us up, if he delight in us. I'll tell you what, the Lord delights in you. He delivered you out of Egypt not to kill you. He didn't deliver you. The Bible says in Luke 9:56, think not that the Son of Man has come to destroy men's lives, but rather to save them. You think he came to destroy your life? Maybe you're a night and you think, if I get saved, I'm going to have to give up all my pleasures. I'll tell you what, your pleasures are corrupt without Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you think, oh God, if I just learn more Bible, it's going to wreck my rhythm in my life. It's not, it'll set you straight. And you'll be on the same rhythm as God. And God, he made joy. Who made joy? Who made love? God is love. Who made peace? God did. God made those things. God made them. You want the real thing? Go to God. You're going to have it with him first. God gave us the ability to have love, joy, peace with other men and other people in the body of Christ. But you know what? At the end of it all, it's all for him. When you sit there, it's all for him. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. More about Jesus, would I know? More of his love to others show. Caleb, he probably got real bitter at times. You know that he had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of 10 men that gave the wrong report? Boy, if you're here today and you're Caleb, just hang in there. You may have to suffer for 40 years or whatever. I guarantee you this, the Lord has been gracious. He was gracious to Caleb. But you remember, Caleb had to put up with the ones that complained. The ones that viewed God wrong. That's same today. If you're a Christian, you're just going to have to stick it out. If you got some people around you that don't view God right and they say God hates us or God doesn't mean well for us or there's so many struggles in this life. I mean, people will complain about gas prices. They'll complain about the president. They'll complain about their job. They'll complain about the car. They'll complain about everything. And then there's just some of those that have a song in their heart. And they just go on forward. And they don't let the things of life bother them. They're riding above the waves. They're somehow with the God of all creation, which said, peace be still. And there's some that lean their head upon him, and they just are like Caleb. They say, God is good. God is good. And I'm not one of those prosperity gospel preachers, but I'll tell you this, I believe God is good. I believe God, he delighted in us. I believe everyone here tonight is God is interested in your soul. He made you, He gave you breath, and the Lord did not make you to send you to hell. The Lord did not make you to save you out of this world, to grab you from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, from the devil's grasp that a lot of us were in. Every one of us, you were this close to slipping off in the fires of hell. And God grabbed you out of that, and what did He do? He took the hit. You think He did that to deliver you because He hated you? He delivered that because He has a vision. And you got to get the vision of God. And just end with this is, are you gonna be like Caleb and follow God wholly? Are you going to study the promises? Are you going to study God's Word? Caleb was a man that when he got to the land and they were dividing up, he said, you know what? Remember what the Lord said to me back then? And he said, he kept quoting God. And you're going to find more, if you just studied, I barely could even turn to the passages for time's sake, but Caleb was a man that just, he hung around Moses a lot. He hung around Moses. He was always listening for God, what God said. And when it came time to fight, he had the Word of God, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And he went forward. Caleb was a man, and he was a mighty man at that. And I pray that everyone tonight would just follow God wholly. And if you're here tonight, I'm sure everyone here is saved. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you got to wholly, wholly come to the cross. And you got to wholly admit you're a sinner. And you got to wholly receive the gift of salvation. And He'll wholly save you. The Bible says He'll save you to the uttermost. He'll save you to the uttermost. And I'll just end with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for tonight. I pray, God, that everyone here would follow you wholly. I pray if there's someone here that's not saved, maybe they've been in here many a time or maybe just tonight, but they haven't settled it with you and you know that. I pray you prick their heart and help them to know that you're still holding out the offer of salvation. It's just there for them. And God, I pray for those that are here that they would follow you wholly and not hold back. Help not to forget the promises or let the world fill their head with thoughts that you hate us, Lord, or that you're it's just not worth the fight. It's just not worth going on. I pray they'd see the reward and have a vision, Lord, looking for your glorious appearing. I pray they'd hang in there. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.